Hey, audio-only listener, you are in a rare club. You are old school doing the radio thing. Most people are either watching visually on YouTube or, of course, behind the Mug Club membership, because there are a lot of exclusive visual sketches and elements that you don't get in the audio-only version. But either way, you can join up and support this show if you want it to keep going at louderwithbetter.com/mugclub. We really appreciate you listening or watching on YouTube, and hope to see you on the other side, louderwithbetter.com/mugclub. Louder with Crowder Studios, protected exclusively by Walther.
And Hopper.
Hey, before you enjoy this show, hit the notification bell because subscriptions don't really work, but I wanted to let you know, if you're not a member of Mug Club yet, we're going to have an A&M spooktacular behind-the-scenes sort of mini-documentary that'll be available at louderwithcrowder.com/mugclub. We are going to have Donald Trump Jr. on the show. There's an extended interview also behind Mug Club, and we're proud to announce a new sponsor for this program, Black Rifle Coffee. We'll talk about it more later on, but right now, here's a little bit of what you missed.
We can do it on our own.
Hey, you still there?
Yeah. Trying some of these.
Your parents never wanted you. You were an accident. Oh!
I don't know if you guys know this, but there was someone else who got in a lot of hot water on Sabbath.
Really?
Little Mr. Jesus Christ, you.
Son of JC, you know. Got it.
I don't even know why that was Jack. But little Betty Jesus Christ, you. We're going to read Matthew. Ooh.
Give me some of this.
Socialism, Sharia, and everything bad. These were the ingredients chosen to create the perfect leftist. But Professor Chink accidentally added an extra ingredient to the concoction, progressiveness. Thus, the squad was born! Using their ultra superpowers, AOC, Ilhan, and Rashida have dedicated their lives to fighting America and the forces of freedom!
This is called the no date rape drug in the world will work in the club if you're doing this in the dance floor. You ever seen, like, you see usually guys doing this in music videos? And then when you see the long shot, it's just them. It's really uncomfortable.
I've never
what
seen
music
this.
Videos are you watching?
I don't know. I've seen it.
Only the best music videos.
Hey, Donald Trump Jr. is on the show today.
Hey.
The president's son, but he does not live in the shadow of his father.
That's true.
He has a book. Yeah. He's his own man. And we're very interested to have him on the show. Of course, before we get there, we're going to be talking about impeachment today.
Yes. Oh, yay.
A lot of people are asking why we haven't been talking about impeachment. So let me, question of the day, has the constant impeachment coverage gotten you more concerned than initially when it was being discussed, or has it just become white noise? And do you personally think that we need to cover impeachment more?
spoiler, I'm not going to, but I want to know what
your
you
opinion
think.
Doesn't matter.
Yes. My half Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, is here.
Hey, everybody.
He's wearing sneakers today.
No, these are middle of the road.
I'm going to lose everything. And quarter black Garrett is here. Show him your hoodie.
What's up, dog?
That is awful.
That's better than usual.
I can't believe we didn't get more flack that you used the quarter N word in the DMX intro.
No, he didn't.
Do the ER. And Gene Morgan Jr., Gerald A. What is the wine of the day, sir?
The wine of the day is Coup de l'Ail de Bocastel.
I don't know what any of that. Coup de l'Ail de
Bocastel.
Coup de
l'Ail de Bocastel.
How long did you rehearse that in the bathroom?
None. I've had this, for a while.
Well,
it's a great
wine.
Because
you're doing other things in the bathroom. And it's disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself and you should feel lonely. He does cry.
A lot.
He cries because he takes advantage of himself.
Yeah, that's what his wife said.
I don't know why.
I'm not sure how to do that.
Well, that's because you blocked it out.
Dang.
It's a traumatic. You are your own traumatic memory. But first, before we get to any other stories, here's something from Elizabeth Warren's Twitter that you need to watch through your fingers.
Are they chanting Pet the Dog?
Wait for it. Big structural Bailey. You know that catchphrase?
No, can't say I have.
You know the tail? The big structural Bailey? You're not familiar with that idiom?
Oh, yeah, excellent. Old-timey saying.
You know big structural Bailey, the colloquialism?
Nah, could use it in a sentence, maybe.
No, but she gets a kick out of it. Jesus, how much coaching must there have been that the going big structural Bailey, big structural Bailey?
It's like, just how does that start? Who started the chant?
I mean, we just want to act like and spontaneously they started singing Christmas carols in the park.
Big structural Bailey.
What?
Why were they so excited about Pet the Dog too?
I think they were all retarded. So we'll bleep that. That's the R word you're not supposed to say.
They're fans of Warren.
Leading the news, and we'll get to impeachment, and I'm not happy about it. Moscow, Idaho was named the best place in America to raise a family by MarketWatch. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a big deal because they account for housing market, you know, cost of living, and holding its spot as the worst place to raise a family. Still, Pedophile Island. Mm. Yeah. They've been
firmly
holding on to that. For a while.
It's a long streak, and you've got to appreciate the consistency.
Yes, very consistent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The mayor, though, is really militant. If you think I'm going to be closing Pedophile Island here on the 4th of July weekend, this place will be crawling with toddler tourists. You've got another thing coming. Thanks, Mayor, in your odd Don Cherry plaid suit. Hey, did you catch this last week? Did you guys catch it last week? And Donald Trump actually became the first president to attend a UFC event.
Oh, yeah.
And he was greeted by a mix of boos and cheers. Saturday night, he sat down for the Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz fight. It was a big story, and the president actually had so much fun, he crashed the post-fight press conference afterward.
Hi, yes, Mr. President, what did you think of the fight card?
As much as I love fighting, folks, because let's face it, right, I'm a fighter, folks. If not for my bone spurs, people have said that I could have been the heavyweight champion of the world, frankly. I would never say that. That's what they tell me. I don't, truthfully, though, like watching the smaller weight classes in general, especially when it's two Latinos fighting. It looks like, frankly, two hobos fighting over a sandwich. Congratulations if you win at bantamweight. You're the toughest guy at a 14-year-old slumber party. But I understand that these two Mexicans were fighting for the last 01 visa. I like it, okay? We only get the best. This is the kind of immigration reform we could all support, right, folks? That's right.
Mr. President, what did you think of the women's fight on the undercard?
Okay, frankly, could have used more Jell-O.
You know what? He says what we're all thinking.
He does.
That's why I like him. He's a straight shooter. I do feel like it could use more Jell-O.
But I just have to ask.
Or pudding.
What flavor?
It doesn't matter. I want is to watch Joanna Jędrzejczyk and that Ronda Rousey roll around in something gelatinous. They could fight on Brian Stelter for all I care. That work?
Turning to
international.
Now I get the image.
We are an internet. We're going to get to more Brian Stelter later. Sorry, I apologize. We have to. We're going to be talking about impeachment.
Turn it off now. Canceled.
Don't. We want the left can try and cancel us. We don't want our viewers to cancel.
No, they're going to have the fun. Right. Gelatinous Stelter.
International news. You know, alleged Russian agent Maria Butina spoke from prison about being accused of trying to influence U.S. policies for the Kremlin. So Butina denies the charges and says that she just wants to get back to living her previous life, being Ron Weasley's sister. So it's you know,
it's a tough life.
That's like the word, like, if you're going to pick, if like a lineup of spies, like, why do you pick somebody that like recognizes me? Like, hey, everybody's going to come up to you. Aren't you like,
because she blends in?
No, you don't blend in. You stick out.
She has like 9 brothers.
It's like the worst spy ever.
How many Weasley sisters were there? Does anyone know?
I thought there was only 1 Weasley sister.
I don't know. But Ron, when will you get it right?
I think you're right.
That was sad.
Sad, but you're very entertaining.
I think.
You are a character, Ron Weasley.
Literally.
A woman, pretty much, was arrested for selling fake doctor's notes to students. This comes from HuffPo to her students. Belinda Gail Fondren was charged with filing or maintaining false public records, selling medical excuses for $20 each. They caught her because the most suspicious one read, sorry, Mark can't make it into school today. His penis is too big to fit in his pants. He's huge. P.S. Tell everyone.
That's suspicious.
It's almost a tip-off. Yeah. By the way, we just had 2 stories of Butina and Belinda. Butina? Belinda?
What the heck?
Whatever. Name that movie line to 5 people who saw Muppets. That was literally Miss Piggy's Muppets daughters.
I saw it
were Butina, Belinda. Butina, Belinda.
That's not Christmas.
Belinda, Butina.
I didn't realize that.
It's you know what? You know what? It can be Christmas all year round if you keep it in your heart.
It is. That's a good point. That's a good point. Anything's whatever you
wherever
want.
Wherever you find love, it feels like f-ing Christmas. Shame on you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure this next bit, this is good news for somebody. I don't know. Same sex love scenes are being restored on Delta Airlines, the in-flight movies.
Yay. No.
This comes after social media outrage over the edited versions of both Booksmart and the Elton John biopic Rocketman. You know, there's some outrage. Though some, and I understand this, seeing both sides of the issue. Some argue that adding the scenes to the in-flight safety video was a step too far.
Oh, no.
Smoking is not allowed on any Delta flight, and federal law prohibits tampering with, disabling, or destroying a restroom smoke detector. And even if the sign is off, you should keep your seatbelt fastened in case we experience unexpected rough air.
Enjoy your flight.
We know some will.
Others, some will
definitely.
Much.
Speaking of homosexuals, Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth Rooney, this is very sad, have called off their engagement. O'Donnell took the opportunity to announce her engagement to her new partner, a big thing of ice cream.
Listen, don't discriminate, Stephen. Ice cream is good.
Well, I don't discriminate in sizing. I don't pint, gallon.
Yeah.
A big thing.
She can get vessel of ice cream.
Is it big enough to jump into?
I don't know, but maybe we could call up Joanna Janjicic and see if she could fight in there.
There you go. With
my general rule,
Jell-O.
As far as portion size with ice cream, is the container. Can Brian Stelter fit into it? It's probably too much for a serving.
Yes.
For
a single probably, but not for Brian
Stelter. Not for sure, but probably.
Not for sure. It's definitely too much for Brian Stelter. No, if he's in it, if he like burrowed his way in it through the ice cream that was in the container.
Too much.
That's just his Saturday night.
If Stay Puft Stelter can get into it, I think it's probably, it's probably close to the line.
That's the line.
Now we got to do that parody.
Michelin Man Stelter. In sports news, before we get to impeachment, a Jezebel reporter said, she said she'd have sex with the entire baseball team.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
If given the opportunity. This comes from Jezebel. Surprise!
It is? Yeah.
Exactly. I may not know much about baseball, but I would work my way through the Washington Nationals team like a bulldozer clearing old-growth forest to make way for a housing development. So,
Thumbelina?
Whore? Is that? I just want to make sure.
You got it.
Pretty much.
Though I do, you know what? I do appreciate her candor in speaking openly about this. Often on the left, they kind of self-censor because I've long expressed that if presented the opportunity, I would paper bag the entire WNBA and run under the horizon until I hear sounds of the ocean and feel sand beneath my feet, at which point I'd have someone ready to greet me with a boat, nothing too fancy, maybe a 20-foot trawler. The fog's just lifting. We'd throw off the bow line, throw off the stern, head up the South Channel past Rocky Neck, 10-pound island, past Niles Pond, where I skated as a kid. You blow your horn, you throw a wave to the lighthouse keeper's kid. Then the birds show up. blackbacks, herring gulls, big dump ducks, and green-legged coots. The sun hits you, head north, open up to 12. Steaming now, the guys are busy, you're in charge. And then I'd kill myself. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Unlike Jeffrey Epstein, who was clearly murdered. Yeah. That's just, it's just that's how strongly I feel about avoiding sexual encounters with any member of the WNBA.
Yes. Yes, you should.
That's a general
thing. I don't need to get into my bed the next day and find a weave in my footlocker.
Oh,
jeez. How dare you?
I dare. finally,
I dare.
The FDA has approved a drug that many are saying could help end the opioid crisis.
Oh,
a lot
good.
Of research. They
yes,
put this
finally.
Out there publicly. The one problem, it's crack. Yeah. Oh, hey, PJ, what's going on?
Yeah, Steven, I'm just trying to wean myself off methadone.
Oh, yeah, methadone's been your thing, huh?
Yeah, but this stuff really helps. Okay. I've been trying to get that monkey off my back for years.
Yeah, I know you... Oh, all right, what, okay, it's almost like PJ's not very serious about getting help yet. You can only help people when they're serious about getting help themselves.
Right, yeah. Right. They've got to be willing to admit they have a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just feel like PJ's more interested in doing shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a method actor.
I question his Candy. Earnestness.
Sorry, a methadone actor. One of the two.
Oh, good Lord.
Does dad
I don't think
like
a methadone actor.
You don't like it? No?
If I use your crack pipe, I smoke it up! You're just the afterbirth. Half Asian Bill Richmond.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, the afterbirth that slithered out of your mother's fist.
Too far.
It's a movie quote.
Like
yeah,
that.
Too far. Be
honest.
Mad at Daniel. Be
that,
mad at Daniel Day.
That yes. was methadone actor.
Danny Day,
Mr.
I call him.
Danny Day.
Mr. Day.
Okay, we're going to move on to the impeachment. This week's trivia contest winner is Nadia from Nerd Dollface, right? Quarter Black
yes,
Garrett?
Quarter, yeah.
Who, what is Nadia? She identified White Zombie as the first ever zombie movie. That's not even, that's not even lined with credit trivia. That's just general.
Well, it's from the Spooktacular.
She just before the show, or are we just playing Seen It?
Yeah. She just threw out some random fact. I win!
We'll be having a golden ticket sweepstakes for writers soon.
Yes.
What is this? Like, which actors have been nominated but won Academy Awards no more than two times? Well, okay, first off, the answer is Meryl Streep, obviously.
Right.
All the answers.
Second, it's lazy writing.
Nice.
So context, while we talk about impeachment a little bit here.
Yeah.
A lot of folks have not that many, honestly, but some people have asked why we don't cover the impeachment, I guess, we even say proceedings, just the whole impeachment
debacle.
Story more. Sometimes people say, like, is it, you know, you've seen these comments, is it because you don't want to run anything critical of right. your boy Trump? First of all, my boy?
Your boy?
Your boy.
What are you spelling with two eyes? My boy? Trump's my boy? Like, what does that even mean, my boy? He's the president of the United States.
You're white.
What are you, the guy in charge of the people on the railroad tracks at Cool Hand Luke? Now, listen here, boy.
Oh, boy.
You have a failure to communicate the impeachment proceedings. Go screw yourself. So here's why. Let me explain why here really quickly. And Hop, I don't know if you have the long shot. Hopper keeps pacing back and forth here today. He does not
nervous.
Like it. He's like, this impeachment's the impeachment is bullshit. There's nothing new. This is the truth. There's nothing new to report. We did a whole segment on impeachment a while back. Nothing new has happened. And it's remarkable because usually September, October, November, we've talked about this half-Asian bill.
Yep.
These are the fast times for the news.
Yeah.
It's
right,
a faster news cycle. And then it sort of breaks between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which should tell you that news is manipulated. If all of a sudden, between two American holidays, nothing really happens. But for some reason, September, October, and this far November, they have not... There's nothing going on, and so they're kind of slowing down their own news cycle by continually covering impeachment. And I want to be clear here, this is a long montage because I want there to be no doubt. The media has been claiming, really for years at this point, but certainly the last few months, the last several quarters, you know, where you've had record economic growth. So there you go, you can see that parallel. That he is, and I don't just want to, I know I saw MRC did a great montage of them talking, the media talking about impeachment, but what I want to specifically address is they have been saying now for over a year that removal from office is imminent, right? And that's why people, the story catches up. It's like, well, this time he's going to be impeached. If you don't believe me, don't take my word for it.
on a momentous day.
The walls closing in on President Donald Trump.
The walls are closing in.
It feels as if we're getting closer and closer to the truth.
It must feel as if this is closing in on him.
Folks, Donald Trump is clearly losing it.
It feels like the walls are closing in.
Oh, he had the sounder?
Bet your butt I did. It's related, trust me. Impeachment is happening.
And they are going to impeach him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a think that's a foregone conclusion.
At some point in the future, Donald Trump will no longer be president of the United States.
I mean, that's technically not a lie.
Yes.
Look, they actually have the applause sign.
If this isn't impeachable, what is?
Well, we know that it's completely
Jason Priestley's aged poorly.
The impeachment will prove devastating to Donald Trump.
No.
And he will not survive it.
The only out that the president will have, the only out,
this
will
guy?
Be to resign the office.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea when that day will come.
I think it'll probably happen before Christmas or slightly after.
It looks like Trump could be impeached sometime around the holidays.
Charles, you believe that actually President Trump will resign or be forced out in the next 12 months?
Yes, I do, actually.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
Now is when we can't talk about impeachment.
Would the market crash if Trump were impeached?
No, the president cannot pardon himself to avoid impeachment.
Stop the hammering.
In order to save his family and himself, will resign, pardon the children, and get pardoned by Mike Pence. Very much like Richard Nixon was.
The president cannot pardon the vice president to avoid impeachment.
In 2014, Donald Trump tweeted,
is he crying?
Are you allowed to impeach a president for gross incompetence?
Don't please like do not give somebody the president any any ideas.
But you know, and it's the same.
Well, I guess we're about to find out.
The tiptoeing is over. The whispers are turning into shouts. Fitness for office is now the top story in the country.
Donald Trump's done.
Country.
He's done. There's no question
also
about that.
Misspelled tweets.
He's done. After two years of avoiding it, Trump may finally face articles of impeachment.
Trump is goading us to impeach him.
One of the organizations that launched
the impeach Donald Trump campaign
just moments
Robin
after
Hood.
Trump's inauguration.
Yes.
That's a deep cut.
What this moment needs from reporters is more reporting.
On a day
any kind of reporting at all,
impeaching Donald Trump
implicitly implying that he is one of them.
Looks less hypothetical than ever.
Not more speculating or guessing.
Wait, he's asking for real reporters to do some work, not himself.
Of what's going on.
I'm going to say
I don't have the budget. It was all spent on plugs that didn't work.
On a day when impeaching the president of the United States is actually a valid topic.
Watching President Trump, you have the sense of someone caught
looks like
in
a Jim Henson character that stays in the creature shop.
Get out too long. The deeper in he gets.
Too
so how
off-putting.
Do you see this ending now? Does it end at the ballot box
with
in a year?
Fired.
Does he make it to a second term? Does he resign as a result of impeachment?
I said it weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
President.
No way. Know how he will be forced to ultimately resign.
This week, Tony Schwartz
tweeted,
the circle is closing.
Never been
from
wrong.
Winding speed. Trump is going to resign and declare victory before Mueller and Congress leave him no choice. Trump's presidency is effectively over. Would be amazed if he survives till the end of the year. More likely resigns by fall, if not sooner.
Oops. Put the cover back up.
That is liberal catnip. You can't tell me that anyone can pass by that book.
They should just start printing the bestseller list now.
It's number one. That is number one right now.
And impeachment begins. We win. Okay, so.
It's like catnip for f***ing hack clones. It is just.
Oh my god!
And I almost wanted to put timestamps on it. It was going to take too much work. Thank you so much to our PA, Gibby, who put it on. And of course, Reg.
Yeah.
This is so important that they are saying it's imminent. This is really clear. I want to be clear about this. It's not just saying, well, could he be impeached? Like George W. Bush, they wanted to impeach.
Right.
They have consistently been. If you watch CNN for 24 hours, and I'm never doing a 16-hour live stream again. We're going to do a special Christmas show. Not doing that.
Please,
that broke me mentally. I'd rather be waterboarded by Tim Kennedy all day or day.
I heard with that.
All day, day. Two R's,
day.
Which means
because you know he's serious.
Just in case.
Because you will see when you watch CNN for any 24-hour cycle, breaking. And it's like, impeachment is imminent.
Yeah.
And of course, if you watch the Young Turks, you get eye cancer. So, and the reason, by the way, they keep recycling this narrative, because if you just say it's possible, there's a general impeachment inquiry out there, it's not news.
Right.
You don't need to break your news cycle for that. That's why they consistently have to claim, no, it's going down today. It's happening. It's like a school fight. Today at the bike racks.
3 o'clock.
Here we go.
And they're recycling this impeachment narrative. Why? Because they don't want to cover Pedophile Island. Boom. We saw that with CNN. Amy Robach, go back to our interview with James O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein, known pedophile. He had a Pedophile Island, was a sex ring trafficker, a leader of a sex. He was a sex trafficker who had a ring. I don't know if it's a sex trafficking ring. That seems appropriate.
That seems right, yeah.
The point is, anything the media can do, whatever they can do, just don't talk about Pedophile Island. Can we trot out Aaron Brockovich to talk about tap water or some shit?
There's got to be some chromium somewhere.
To give you an idea, if it's not impeachment,
there's always something else.
Well, there really isn't, though. Because, let me prove this to
you. Nothing meaningful.
Nothing meaningful, exactly.
Nothing meaningful.
Case in point, Brian Stelter literally did an entire, and I'm not saying literally like millennials do, like figuratively, because you're going to see, literally did an entire segment when he wasn't talking about impeachment, requesting that other people do his reporting. You saw in that clip. We need real reporters.
Anybody?
To email me at Proton, because
I don't know how.
I don't want to lose my
the
job.
The vats of ice cream just add up.
Someone help.
And I can't type with my fingers. It just mashes the keypad. I'm constantly calling the emergency SOS on my iPhone. They had an Amber Alert for me. I'm straight. Brian Stelter this week, when he wasn't doing impeachment, an entire segment counting President Trump's typos.
But I've never seen anyone do a comprehensive study of his spelling errors.
For a reason.
So no idea why.
Fact-Base is this excellent website that has every single word the president says, some other politicians as well. It looks at all of Trump's tweets, even the deleted ones, for this database of typos and other screw-ups.
Okay, he could have introduced that segment literally saying, I've never seen anybody else waste this much of your time.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard-hitting news.
I've never seen anyone do an entire segment on Trump's tweets, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure they have. I've never seen anyone do an entire segment on the African squirrel's nut-gathering patterns in relation to climate change, so we're going to do a special!
A two-hour marathon.
Brian Stelter.
That's all you need.
I mean,
Stay puff.
Yeah. We've done the segment, but I don't get it. There are people I disagree with that I understand. Like Anderson Cooper, I don't agree with him, but I get it. He's a good newscaster. Chris Cuomo, I can't stand, but he has the right connections. At least he's got a face for television. I kind of get it. If you tune into whatever, even some women on The View, you understand that they can kind of do the cackling back and forth. There's some kind of value there. No, Brian Stelter, he's a talentless, formerly gap-toothed, bald, fat that seems really gay, gets every single story wrong. It's like a Rubik's Cube that I can never figure out. Like, I want to bring in a Japanese kid to tell me how to do it. I get that that's ad hominem. I don't know. Maybe that's the brilliance of Brian Stelter. He makes himself seem to have such little, if any, redeeming qualities as a human being that the only criticism of him can be ad hominem, and he can play victim. Maybe that's his strategy. Good for you, Brian Stelter.
8D chess, man.
One for you. He's playing 8D. I'm playing 8D chess.
I'm like
straight, totally straight.
No, he's not that.
Anyway,
smart.
Sorry, I digress. Back to impeachment. People, they will cover anything on Trump if it's negative, even if it's not newsworthy. And I just don't see the purpose of covering something until it's relevant here. And I want to be clear about this. Like when there's a terrorist attack, we always, best practice is we try to wait. Or if there's a shooting, wait for a little bit of information because we're not really beholden to having the exclusive scoop because this is an entertainment show.
We don't want to give people wrong information.
We don't want to give people wrong information. Well,
and that's the thing, that one of the problems with the 24-hour news cycle is that they have to stretch to find things. But in this case, there are actual great stories out there right now, like almost every day, record-breaking stock prices.
Right.
Anybody else's presidency, if that had happened under Obama,
it
would have been the
constantly.
Front page story on every newspaper. It would have been the lead. It would have been the breaking story every single 5 minutes that it happens, right? And it's not even being really covered. It's like, oh, well, Trump tweets bad words.
You know what else?
What?
Pedophile Island.
Pedophile Island. Yeah,
hey, by the way, Pedophile Island, you never grow old.
That's what they
kill you before you get old.
I don't want to grow up. Why are these handcuffs? What's happening?
Yeah.
That's Epstein. And no one talks about it. You could have saved children, Stelter.
He didn't kill himself.
I just just feel like Brian Stelter. I mean, I'm sorry. Can I
go for it?
I just feel like Brian Stelter would be sitting there, looking through his show notes, his show map. I'm like, oh, okay, pedophile. Island. Oh, wow, look, there are charges here. Oh, wow, he was actually convicted in peanuts, and he'd be going to the bowl.
Spelling errors? I hate spelling
that's
errors.
That's the things. That's the news.
This well, not only are they proven wrong verifiably over and over on Trump's impeachment, their own narrative keeps changing, right?
Yeah.
So first it was he was going to be impeached because of the Russian collusion.
Yep.
Mueller report found none.
Yeah, an incredibly extensive investigation, turning up every stone
right.
and found nothing.
So they're like, well, then we got to find something else. I got to find something else because they have to do real reporting, guys.
And everybody thought that was
something. My wife was the one who told me I have to do it.
And we already said the Mueller report was going to end him, so it
I
better.
Was like, sweetheart, who I think is beautiful and I have sex with all the time, what should I cover? And she was like, impeachment. And I was like, okay. Ad hominem. I guess that's the brilliance of Brian Stelter. It's all that's left.
It's good. It's good.
There's nothing to hit.
I wish I loved anything as much as he loved faking being straight. So then after Russian collusion, it was he'd be Donald Trump would be impeached because of the Ukrainian quid pro quo. Called their bluff. President Trump did release a transcript. Turned out to be nothing.
Baller.
So then the Democrats,
dope.
They don't want the whistleblowers to appear, right? They don't want them actually appear. They just want it to be anonymous. But they continue to contradict the official transcript, and they say that there was some funny business going on. Of course, no identities are being released as far as the whistleblowers, and they're not testifying. With the Democrats, and I understand we'll get into whistleblower laws and protecting anonymous sources, but with the Democrats in the media, it's always an anonymous source that has all the info. That's the concern. You should just pepper it in every now and then with something verifiable. And I want to know, you know, a lot of people have talked about this. Rand Paul has caught flack for saying that the whistleblower should be out there, you know, in this case. What's the law here on the whistleblowers?
Well, so there's a lot of different whistleblower statutes, and the one here is related to intelligence whistleblowers. So there's a particular statute.
Right.
And so when you actually look at some of the articles that are out there, the ones that actually address the statute itself and don't just speak from emotion, they say, look, there's a very limited protection here. It's only a protection from an adverse response in the employee-employer context.
Yeah.
There's nothing that stops Congress from naming the person, stops anyone else from naming the person other than the employer in a certain particular situation. And it certainly doesn't prevent the president from being able to do it. And so when you compare these articles, the ones who know the law or at least have addressed the law say, this is just the way that it is. You can go ahead and name the person versus in this particular situation. Other whistleblower statutes are a little bit different.
Yeah.
Then the ones who don't address the law themselves are just, well, I just don't think we should, or this has never happened before, and, you know, I don't really care if they want to get the facts.
Or they attack Donald Trump Jr., who's going to be on the show, who just retweeted an article with the whistleblower. The whistleblower was outed several
it's
weeks
already
ago.
Done. Yeah.
Like, how dare Donald Trump Jr. retweet an article from Real Clear Investigations?
Right.
He should be hung for treason.
It's like, oh.
Right, sweetie? My wife says yes. And here's something else, too. I do want to talk about, go to Bill here really quickly, because Rand Paul talked about this. You know, the right to face your accuser.
Sure.
Right? Now, that's in a criminal case.
Right.
And in this case, it's not a criminal trial, but they are making criminal accusations. So how does that...
So that's one context to that is important, that articles of impeachment aren't limited to just crimes. There is just a general kind of bad acts umbrella that could be used for articles of impeachment, which is this, you know, relatively new and gray area about where you're going to be able to answer the questions. But I think the most important part would be, why do we have in the criminal system the right to face your accuser? It's because when faced with the harsh reality and light and the strict questioning, people's stories will either stick if they're true or they won't.
Right.
And here, that is the point. If there is a whistleblower and the whistleblower has allegations, the allegations are true, then the whistleblower should have, certainly there will be consequences, I'm sure, but there should be that ability to allow the highest office in the land to be able to address those accusations.
I will say this. I don't understand the world in which I understand that there is some gray territory with this law, and that's what I wanted to get your take on it. But what I don't understand is the world that the left lives in, where someone can come forward completely anonymous with no evidence at this point, and something that evidence or whatever claims that contradict their previous claims, never face the music, never appear in court. We don't know who they are, and the president gets impeached? Like, I don't understand the game that they want to play.
Exactly, and I think right now they're just playing the headline game, right? They're just saying, hey, we've got this secret information. Well, it was funny because they had one whistleblower first, right? And then, hey, we've got this call. And then Donald Trump, and that's why I said baller. That's a baller move. You just release the transcript and say, boom, what do you got now? Yeah. And they're like, oh, we have another one that says something else happened. And we're not going to let you talk to these guys. We're going to run them into a hearing. And at first, emotionally, Bill, I'm glad you explained that. I was like, wait a minute, don't we protect whistleblowers? And the answer is yes. You protect them against their employer in this case, being fired for reason. But at this point, the president has responded and said, no, I didn't do this. And now they're saying, no, but we still have a whistleblower. Well, okay, well, let's question him. Let's talk to him. Let's find out. That's this next step.
Sorry,
and they're not doing it.
I meant to say that we have 19 whistleblowers.
Yes.
That's what my super hot Canadian wife tells me.
We borrowed some from the Kavanaugh accusation.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. By the way, every single one of those has either been retracted, verifiably false, like, except for Christine Blasey Ford, who it has been proven that none of her story adds up. Nothing was brought up against Kavanaugh had any evidence or has resulted in any criminal charges at all.
At all.
Not even close.
Well, and this is my big problem with the left right now is that they think they got him based on headlines. Everybody who is a Democrat right now and is like, yeah, they're impeaching him, just like we saw. I'm like, okay, well, why? Well, I don't know, but they said it's happening
right now.
And it's like the next headline. It's like Rosie O'Donnell in League of Their Own. One more, guys! We got him!
Never seen that film.
Oh, come on.
I've never seen it.
It's such a great movie.
I don't understand the reference.
Amazing. Amazing.
Was our co-star a big thing of ice cream?
There's no crying in baseball!
But you think he's going to be impeached?
Do I think the articles will come?
Yeah.
I think they will.
Yeah. And I think they will because of the showmanship that needs to go into it as opposed to a legitimate basis, right? Because remember, we say this all the time. Anyone can file a lawsuit for any reason. It's the next question because there's no gatekeeper saying at the courthouse steps, well, let me read this first and decide if we're going to let it in. Similarly, even though there are procedures in place that will require them to jump, you know, kind of hoops to jump through to be able to have the articles of impeachment, again and again and again, we keep hearing the cry wolf. Is it 2 years ago that he was getting impeached immediately? How about it 18 months ago? No, 12 months ago, 6 months ago? I mean, at some point you just say, look, if you've got it, show it.
Yeah. At some point it would make their case a little strong, make it easier for them. And it would also make it easier for me. So I wouldn't have to read your stupid questions about why I'm not covering impeachment. This is exactly why I don't want to talk about it anymore. Now, if the articles are brought forward, if there is an impeachment, absolutely we'll be covering it. But at this point, just be going, he's going to be impeached now. Now. When is then? Now. Soon.
Free crab tomorrow.
And here's something else too that I haven't heard anyone else talk about. This, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily original, but with all of the recent impeachment hysteria, now it's been about the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Has anyone stopped to consider the massive contradiction? First, it was going to be impeachment because of Russian collusion, and that didn't work. And now it's the Ukraine. And by the way, Ukrainian officials, I don't know if it's the president, prime minister, several higher-up officials have said that Donald Trump did not pressure them.
Right.
Right? The Democrats say that they're lying and they're just trying to make Trump look good. I don't know if you know this, but Ukraine and Russia are mortal enemies. They don't like each other at all. This is pretty recent, right?
Yeah.
2014 was Russia, the annex with the Crimea. Crimea, however you pronounce it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't watch Russia Today because I'm not a Putin puppet.
Sorry.
But ever since then, the relations between Ukraine and Russia have been extremely tense. As of right now, by the way, they have no diplomatic relations.
Right.
Ukrainians have officially recommended its citizens don't even travel to Russia at all, and they've even banned some Russian television stations. And by the way, though the Kremlin won't admit it, looks like they've been sending in troops to aid the pro-Russian rebels in their efforts. 10,000 people have died so far in the conflict.
Wow.
So if Donald Trump was really Putin's stooge, which they're still claiming, by the way, the media— why would Ukrainian presidents or prime ministers carry the water for Trump? If he is a plant for Russia, they would have every incentive to expose and damage Donald Trump as much as possible because they hate Putin.
Right?
They hate Russia. It's like the moon landing conspiracy. And I don't want to get... I know people are going to...
I can already hear it in the comments.
No. The point is... Sorry, Hopper's upset because I was talking about Brian Stelter and he saw the clip. The moon landing situation... The reason I want to go on a second... If the moon landing was faked... We believe that all world governments are in on it together. The Russians, who wanted to get to the moon first, would have every incentive to release to the public that the United States faked the moon landing because they'd want to embarrass us.
Right.
The same thing with Ukraine. I guess you don't say the anymore. They dropped the. With Ukraine, they would have every reason in the world to try and hang Donald Trump out to dry if he was a Putin puppet. And by the way, here's something that's not debatable. Okay, we have to go to Donald Trump Jr. in a second.
Yeah.
But this is something that is not up for debate, and I rarely say that. It's not like Samantha Bee or Young Turks or Chelsea Handler are like, listen, that's a fact, it's not up for debate. I don't do that very often. In this case, I will say it.
Google.
I will put my stamp on it. If you believe the mainstream media and you really, really hate President Trump, you still have to pick. Either President Trump is a puppet for Putin or he's working quid pro quo with his buddies in Ukraine. It has to be one or the other.
Yeah.
Period. But the media and the Democratic National Committee, they want to impeach him for both. What does that tell you about the legitimacy of these claims? All right, Donald Trump Jr., we'll have him on. Yes. He's on standby and he's a busy man.
Do it.
Behind a 7-Eleven knee-deep in Muppet dicks turning tricks for quick cash before you know it. But when it comes time to pay up, they say they'll have your money Friday. And then your supervisor asks you for his cheddar, and you say you'll have it soon. But he doesn't care. So instead he backhands you like the whore you are and tells you to get back out in the street to make daddy some money. That's always how it happens. Kids, using methamphetamine isn't cool. It isn't safe. And that's why I switched to crack cocaine. Do crack, kids!
Well, the coffee is delicious, but you should still keep your eyes on the road. Really happy to announce our latest sponsor, Black Rifle Coffee. And the company does more than just coffee, by the way. They're veteran-owned and operated, and they actually still actively serve those in the veteran community today. So all of November, for every bag or box of coffee rounds that you purchase, Black Rifle Coffee will donate another bag to active deployed members of our armed services. And something else, unlike other companies who claim small batch or premium coffee, Black Rifle Coffee isn't roasted until after you place your order, which is really important. A lot of people don't know this. Coffee is a bean. And like other beans and legumes, I'm not exactly sure what that is, a legume, but it goes bad, right? So if you've been drinking stale coffee, taste the difference for yourself and support a company that has the best product out there and does a lot of good work. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/Crowder. And if you enter Crowder as a discount code, you'll receive 20% off your first order. Blackriflecoffee.com/Crowder. Almost got it.
And now it's time to get jiggy with Cory Booker Karaoke.
Tangeray and Chronic, yeah, I'm bleeped up now, but it ain't no stopping. I'm still popping. Dre got some dudes from the... No, bitches. I said bitches. No, I mean my famous girlfriend from Hollywood, who's totally a girl.
Join Mug Club, because soon, videos like this will be all that's left on YouTube.
You know, I never did this before. Do you know the patting your head and rubbing your stomach thing?
Yeah, I can't.
Is it pat your stomach? Is it rub your head or pat your stomach?
I don't remember.
It's the point is this. It's very difficult.
It is.
I only tried it recently, and I thought, like, oh, that's why,
like,
you can't walk
brain,
and chew
right
bubble game at the same time. I did this. I was going, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah. Many things.
Now I know. But I tell you what's not wrong is our next guest. We're very fortunate to have our next guest. And he's very, very long. So that was a segue. It was a little bit of a reach.
That was a nice segue.
He's been making the rounds. You know him. You love him. His book right now is Triggered, How the Left Thrives on Hate and Wants to Silence Us. Of course, you can follow him on the Twitter at Donald Trump Jr. Don, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I am doing well. Just so people know, I said Don because you told me to say that off air. We're not
good,
so
man.
Familiar.
All
I'm
good.
Like, Danny boy, how you doing? I love you, baby. So listen, this book is out. Triggered now. This is a term that everybody, like, there are a few specials now on Netflix, I think, like, called Triggered.
Couple.
Did you title this before those? I would imagine so.
Yeah, for me, it defines the time. I mean, I look at what my father's doing. I look at what he's done in politics, and everyone's triggered about everything. I mean, you can't have basic conversation. You can't, today's comedy isn't funny anymore because good comedy would be totally off limits today. Right. I mean, you know, things that would have been funny 10, 15 years ago, I mean, you'd get canceled today for running with. And I think, you know, it's important to call this stuff out. I think, you know, my father's the political version of that, where he's sort of like, okay, enough. Like, enough. We got to go.
Is that you doing? Do you get in trouble for doing an impression of your dad at the table? Like, does he have a sense of humor about
that?
When
I throw out the cobra, occasionally.
Listen, Junior, I can't take anymore. You're driving me crazy. And then, you know.
I get some of that. In the book, I talk about getting the call from the White House, and he's telling me I got to slow down on social a little bit. I'm getting a little too hot at times. Like, you know, I'm like, you know,
Dad.
Hey, you know, I love you, Dad. I'm going to take your advice on a lot of things. The one place where I may not lose, you know, I don't know.
That's the pot calling the kettle black in 140 characters or less.
I learned it by watching you.
Yes, right. Exactly. And now he's a Harry Chapin song, only he is president. It's interesting that you bring this up as well. Let me ask you this. First off, before we get to everything else, and I highly recommend that people check out the book. You mentioned comedy. By the way, we get canceled for an entirely different reason. We do push the limits, but are wildly unfunny. So we get the best of both worlds here. Have you always been aware of this? Because, and I don't want to be that guy who asks you a bunch of questions about your dad, of course, because you have an international position now where all eyes are on you as well. And you've worked in New York business, and then, of course, the entertainment industry, which is Los Angeles. So not necessarily known as bastions of conservatism. Were you always sensitive to this? Were you aware of how far the progressive left was going, or really only in the last 3 years?
Well, listen, I think, you know, no one hides the fact that the left, the media has always been left-leaning, but the difference is now they don't even hide from it, right? I mean, this is a big part of the book. I mean, you know, I'm an unlikely conservative, to your point, right? I'm from New York City, son of a billionaire. I went to an Ivy League school. I did, you know, what we did, you wouldn't necessarily be around all that conservative movement, but I also have a mom, you know, that escaped from communist Czechoslovakia.
Right.
You know, I have grandparents that were, you know, blue collar people from there, and they saw the incredible blessings we had in this country, living in America with our freedoms, and they're like, well, you have to come over there and see the other side. So I spoke the language at a young age. I used to spend a month there every summer with my grandfather, you know, starting at the age of five. You know, I've waited in those breadlines. Not so great.
Yeah.
They're not so glamorous like Bernie would love to believe. And I always said, you know, it's sort of interesting, you know, with all the people that have been subjected to socialism and communism and all this nonsense that's being pushed by the mainstream left and the liberal elite right now, how come there's no one from Eastern Europe under, you know, the Soviet, you know, side that would vouch for communism and socialism? How come there's no one from China that says, hey, man, bring that crap here?
Right.
We should do it here. It's going to be awesome. How come there's no one from Cuba, from Venezuela? You know, it's like academics and these guys. So I experienced it as a young age. I saw that as a kid. You know, I remember the first time I went over there, my first memory, because it was the first time I was probably ever afraid in my life, and I'm not one that, you know, gets too afraid too easily.
Breadlines will do that. And by the way, your grandfather made you go, he couldn't have tossed you an RX bar. Like, you could still have learned the lesson.
No, that stuff didn't exist there, man. I mean, that was literally before sliced bread. You bought loaved bread and you cut it yourself at home. And so
over there,
you
know, it's still before sliced bread, but yes.
Yeah, there wasn't like helicopter grandparents. It was like, okay, you're five. Like, doesn't matter. Go to the store, go get bread.
Right.
You know, I've done it, but I remember the first time I went over there, I was literally pulled out of the customs line because I was wearing a jean jacket, which was pretty 80s cool. But it had the stars and stripes on it. And I had like a, you know, soldier in a military uniform with an AK over its shoulder saying, like, why are you here? I'm like, I'm five. Like, I wasn't there. Like, wow. An American propagandist.
You know, I'm five.
Like, sir.
You know, I wasn't there spreading the gospel of, you know, capitalism. I was five. I just didn't know any. You can't wear that here or that. I mean, and I just remember that was like one of my earliest memories, because I remember being afraid for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I say, you know, how come the boats only go one way? And so when I see this, my 93-year-old grandmother, she's still alive, and, you know, she's over there a lot, and she'll call me and, you know, Don, you don't understand. It always sounds so good. Everything's free. Everything's wonderful. And then they get you. And this isn't a woman that's been through nothing, right? I mean, she hid from the Nazis in the basement of her farmhouse for 2 years, you know, during, you know, World War II. You know, then lived through that communist occupation. She's been there, done that, and she's calling me in tears because she only sees CNN over there. They don't have a, you know, a conservative outlet over there. And, you know, she's in fear for the future and well-being of her grandkids and her great-grandkids. That tells you all you need to know about these systems. And so when they become sort of mainstream, Yeah, I'm an unlikely conservative, but man, I'm vocal and I will not be shut down.
What now? Were you always more conservative? Now, I know you say conservative. Do you identify as conservative, libertarian, sort of moderate? And were you always this way?
I'd say, you know, definitely have bouts of libertarianism in there. I think there's certain social issues I don't care as much about that are going to be, you know, that way that, you know, I'm sort of, you know, I'm definitely live and let live. But, you know, you can't even be live and let live anymore. That's not enough.
No.
You know, the woke goalposts, you know, what is woke today is alt-right next week.
Right.
You know, if you could be, you know, I'm 100% woke today, but okay, now I think you guys are taking it a little bit far 24 hours
right.
later.
Yeah.
You know, the goalposts have moved. And by the way, you get no credit for being woke today. You're out.
Right.
You know, I spent some time in the book talking about that, you know, using, you know, Martina Navratilova as the example. She was, you know, obviously famous female athlete, tennis player, you know, known, you know, lesbian spokesperson, been doing it for 40 years, you know, probably about 35 years before it was cool to be doing it. And she came out against, like, the trans women in sports thing. Now, this is one of the most accomplished female athletes of all time.
Right.
She says, you know, I just don't think it's fair to be competing against someone who has, you know, male skeletal structure, male muscles, lung capacity, whatever it may be. I don't think it's right. So she had an opinion. This was a person who was a lesbian activist for the LGBT community. She had an opinion. And man, she wasn't woke enough, and they went and destroyed her. So right. much so that she had to walk it back, do the mea culpa, I'm so sorry. And then 3 weeks later, she has to start hitting Trump because that's the only way to get fully back into it.
Now, yes.
You know, right. This is someone who had a similar story. She also left Czechoslovakia. We knew her growing up, spent time with this woman, you know, but then she has to start hitting Trump magically after years just because that's the only way to get accepted back into.
That's the penance. It's like say 30 Hail Marys and tweet a Trump joke.
Correct.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And by the way, for people who don't know, because we have some younger people who may not be familiar, like she's not like a lesbian. Like, she's really lesbian. Like she's practically doing ads for Orvis, you know, Eddie Bauer. Like she's very like she's always been a lesbian. It's not like this is new for her. So I think a lot of kids don't realize.
Like I said, she was doing it before it was cool.
Yes.
And you know, so you know, I talk about that in the book, and like you can be live and let live, but hey, as a father of girls, like. You know, who are, you know, one of them who's a great athlete, I'm saying, like, I just don't think it's right. Like, by the way, where are the feminists, Steve? Where are the feminists coming out and saying, okay, come on. You know, you have women, that trans women breaking every record imaginable. They're winning world championships. They're breaking every world record in weightlifting and in track. And
breaking
in this.
Faces in MMA.
Fighter that literally fractured some woman's skull in the ring. Like,
yeah.
Like, when do you say, like, enough is enough? And that's the problem with it. You can be the most live and let live person, and you're still a terrible person. I mean, one of the examples I use, you know, in the book, like, you know, I'm sick of being, I have plenty of gay friends, all this stuff, but I'm sick of being called, you know, a homophobe or whatever it is, because I don't want to date a woman with a beard and man parts. Like, that doesn't make me a homophobe.
Right.
It seems like it's totally reasonable.
I don't know about that, and I think that's largely because of your last name. Yeah, if you say, for example, at one point it was considered woke to say, I think women should be able to breastfeed in public. Now they go, men can breastfeed in public, and you're like, crap, okay.
Wait a second.
Okay, I'm confused, but yeah. Hey.
Well, we just did this yesterday. You know, Bill Maher was talking with Dennis Prager, where he said, you know, it's a big lie now that men can menstruate too, and Bill goes, I must have missed it. That's a small faction of the Democratic Party. I go, no. These are mainstream ads across the entire country, internationally, for tampons. Right. It's going on YouTube.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
What is it? People, HuffPo. We found all these articles, and you have every single DNC candidate listing their preferred pronouns in their Twitter profile, and Julian Castro saying that transgenders should have the right to taxpayer-funded abortions. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I don't even know where the woke goalposts are at this point. It's just the whole field.
Oh, by the way, I offered. I went on Twitter. I offered. I said, you know what? If you're a trans female, I will pay for your abortion. Not necessarily. Just because you're
offensive,
paying for zero.
But poignant.
You know, you see the point I'm making? Like,
yes.
I will bear the burden of that expense because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
There is no expense. Okay,
doesn't
but
exist.
The fact that we have to have this conversation, and if you don't buy into it, you're a terrible human being. You're canceled. You can't say anything anymore. So again, when you've been through what I've been through over the last few years, sort of being the tip of the spear of, you know, the greatest political upset in history,
yeah,
watching that, but also the target of the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the you know, on the American people with the Mueller report.
Right.
You know, I was the number two target after the president because if we can't get him, we're going to put his family in jail.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Hunter Biden, now that's off limits. He's a 50-year-old guy that's stealing money from Ukrainian companies. He doesn't even know why the hell he's getting those jobs and businesses, but he's getting rich. You know, thrown out of the Navy for doing coke, no problem. That's totally off limits. You think they'd give me that same break?
You know, no, I think...
You think if I turned in a rental car with a crack pipe in it and all sorts of weird like paraphernalia, you think that'd be a story?
Yeah, I think you would have been kicked off Celebrity Apprentice if you had a crack pipe. If you had just like a baggie.
I wish I was Hunter Biden because that makes me a Democrat, and that would mean I could go do whatever I wanted. We were an international business company for decades. That's what we did. It was a big part of what I did. And when we got into this, you know, into politics, we gave all of that. We said we will not do any new deals going forward. Obviously, if we have a building abroad, like, you know, you can't just stop building a building if we have a partnership that we signed in 2010.
Then you'd be accused of being a slumlord.
Of course. You right. literally can't win.
Right.
But we said, hey, we will do no deals going forward, no new deals in international business, even though it's a huge part of our company, a huge part of our revenue stream. We said we're going to stop because it's the right thing to do. Hunter Biden magically becomes an international businessman the second his father has some influence over, you know, the Ukraine. He doesn't speak the language. He doesn't know anything about energy, but he gets an $83,000 a month job to sit on the board of this company. Like, why do you think that is? I don't know. It's because he's a brilliant businessman.
Yes, I feel like
I could be that brilliant. But you think that they'd be okay with Donald Trump? How about if I went to China on Air Force Two, Stephen, and came back 4 days later, 5 days later, with $1.5 billion from the Chinese government to invest in my fund that no one had ever heard of? I mean, obviously, he's a seasoned investor. No one had ever heard of him. The biggest guys on Wall Street spend 10 years trying to get into China, hoping to get some of those investment dollars. This guy magically pulls it off in 5 days. It's because he's better than everyone.
Well, it's also you don't need to go on Air Force Two. He can hop on Epstein Air. You know, it's a favorite airline of many from the DNC.
You know,
at least.
Whatever it is, but you know, I wish the media would hold me to the same standard that they do Hunter Biden because I could do anything I wanted.
Yeah. Well, let me go before we go to the Web Extended. I wanted to ask you this for everyone to kind of hear. What would you say has been most stressful for your family? You mentioned the biggest hoax ever perpetrated in the American public, the Mueller report.
Would you say
it's Russia, the Ukraine, or the recent impeachment talks? Like, what's really been toughest?
Well, listen, for me personally, I knew it was nonsense, but you still got to deal with it, or you still have to spend millions in legal fees to defend, you know, this crap, which was the Russia investigation. I have literally half of Congress. You can go play the tape saying they're going to try me for treason, you know, punishable by death, you know, minor details.
Right.
You know, now, I guess what was interesting, it took me 41 years to sort of realize that I have a lot more of my father in me than I probably thought otherwise. When you backed us in a corner, when you threatened our family, when you literally threatened our lives, when you do this, it's, you know, I don't have that usual sort of defense mechanism, like let's curl up in a ball and die just because that's what the other side wants. We actually fight back.
Yeah.
It was a big sort of aspect of why I wrote the book. People say, you know, you should write the business book about, you know, the Trump family. I'm like, I think my father's kind of had that covered with The Art of the Deal, The Art of the Comeback, all of the, I'm like, but this is sort of newer territory. I got to do there. I got to be a part of it. I got to witness it. And I see the results and I see what he's doing now. Unprecedented successes, all-time low unemployment numbers, all-time high business startups. Every aspect of this is going well for the first time in a long time. And you have the first president in modern history who's actually executing on his campaign promises. And they're still trying to destroy him. So I spend a lot of time talking about, you know, media, you know, the biases of the left in there. I spend a lot of time talking about social media and the shadow banning. I know you've dealt with that. You know, I certainly have. I've been calling it out for 3 years, and, you know, they keep doing it to me. I did, you know, a whole thing on Jussie Smollett and that whole nonsense because I was one of the first guys.
You will not tarnish the good name of Jussie Smollett on this program here. We have journalistic standards, and that man is a national hero, sir. By the way, I also want to defend those from the fetal position curl into a ball community. I find it a very effective fighting method. So does it's Quarterback Garrett's only defense.
It's all right, only.
We're going to go to Web Extended. The book is Triggered by Donald Trump Jr., and of course, it's available wherever books are sold. They can get on Amazon, and you've done an audio book, right? Please tell me you have.
Even the audio books, you know, for those who are, you know, illiterate, I'm going to work on the coloring book because that's what the left says that I'm only capable of. So that'll be for you. Okay, but I'll get that out soon.
I'm waiting on the pop-up for people who are not Mug Club members. We're going to Web Extended a couple more minutes here with Donald Trump Jr.
Bimbo, bimbo.
My name is Mr. Susan. You must choose, and now it is time for you to do the choosing.
Complete start.
But since I'm usually up at like 4, I slept till 6.
Fruit, figs. Figs. It's very clear. Figs.
Never know what's real here.
Soon, every vampire,
What's your home defense plan? When it comes to safety, there's no substitute for a quality firearm. And if you're a gun owner, there's no replacement for firearms legal protection. Firearms Legal Protection provides lawful gun owners an uncapped legal defense program, 24/7 emergency hotline, access to a network of over 2,500 experienced attorneys, legal education on firearm laws in your state via our mobile app, and plans to protect you every step of the way if you are involved in a self-defense incident. Visit firearmslegal.com/LWC today.
Right, quick live read here. I guess you could call this a PSA. I'm not going to tell you to stay off of drugs or don't play with blasting caps. Is that still a thing? I don't know if they're still around railroads. Still, you shouldn't play with them. But I wanted to tell you about firearms legal protection. Everyone here at Ladder with Crowder, right, we carry. And not so much because we just want to. It's not a hobby. We have to. Let's face it. We all have to. Bill, Gerald, myself. Being able to defend ourselves is a necessity. And that's why we also make sure to carry firearms legal protection in the event that, God forbid, we actually have to use our firearm. They're the leader in prepaid self-defense protection plans. They have plans designed specifically to protect you and your family. Attorneys, they can cost you tens of thousands of dollars in a situation like this. But with FLP prepaid legal plans, they cover it all with no deductible and no copay. They're also the only company of their kind to cover red flag laws. So they'll pay for a bail bond. They'll help you get your firearm back, get you through arraignment, trial, witness selection, even lost wages. It really, not only is it a good deal, it is important if you carry a firearm and understand the need to defend yourself. So for exclusive pricing, please go to firearmslegal.com/LWC. Great sponsor, great product. And if you don't need it, don't get it. But if you do, support the guys who have the balls to sponsor this show. firearmslegal.com/LWC.
Now for trick tips with Beto.
Hola, all of my amigos. It's your hombre, Beto, just kicking it on my El Monopatín aquí to tell you we live in a racist country of gringos. But if you elect me...
Oh, f***!
Don't be a Beto.
Get breathing. Join Mug Club for $99 a year, $69 a year for students, veterans, or active military.
Held it longer.
Damn it.
I did some pearl diving long in the back in the day. Thank you so much, Donald Trump Jr. For those who are not Mug Club members,
awesome.
We have an extended interview with him, of course, available behind the paywall for those who are Mug Clubbing it up. That dance was the guy's
that?
Mad. He wanted to know even underwater that he's mad.
Oh, I thought
who's
he
that, who's
that
actor who plays Arnold in Westworld, the black guy with the beard?
You know what it is. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
But I just watched a movie with him. Oh, the Steven Soderbergh film. Terrible, awful film. It was like a Vox video with actors. So it's like a Vox video.
Yeah.
But in it, he was eating at the dinner table, and he did this, the lick like his front fang tooth, you know.
Sucked his teeth.
And I was sitting there going,
intimidating.
Does anyone ever do that other than to signal they're mad? That thing? Like, there you go. You can do it better than I do. Yeah. Does anyone ever do that? As any kind of a signal outside of anger.
Broccoli?
I guess. It wouldn't so much be, maybe a broccolini. Broccolini, which I don't know what it is. It seems like it's smaller with longer stalks. I'm not entirely sure. It looks
gets
like
easier
the,
stuck
looks
in
like
your
the
teeth.
Sort of mushroom things in the Super Mario, the level 2 when you get up in the class. Point is, this is a very pointless program right now. But before I get to the
Mario
clothes, I want to tell a
never
story
pointless.
Here. This is unprompted. I want to name me one good thing that happened. One positive thing that you're happy about this week. And I don't
this
mean
this week.
Yeah, this week.
I just moved into my house.
Oh, good. That's right. That's a big one. Congratulations,
awesome.
Quarter Black Garrett. Nothing like bucking the stereotype. You put a down
and
payment.
And I stayed with my family.
Good for you. All right, audio Wade.
I had some delicious hot wings last evening.
It's the little things. It's the little things. Where'd you get them from?
I don't remember.
Oh, wow. Must have been stellar.
I don't know.
They were delicious.
This is from Chateau du I don't give a shit. I will tell you what, because often we wait for Thanksgiving or New Year's to make a resolution. Just take take some time every day, every week. Just go, oh, you know what? This is one good thing that's happened. Because it's been a pretty stressful week, the whole A&M thing. I will tell you what I'm grateful for. Shoes. I finally got shoes that are wide enough. You guys know this. My feet are like 4 wide. They're 4E. Yes. And I used to have a pair of Nikes that they made that were perfect.
It's like a clown almost.
And I bought like 3 pairs of them. They stopped making them. I ran out. And so actually I was trying all these different pairs of shoes because my feet, like I didn't realize that not everyone lives as though they're going through daily Chinese foot binding. And so I bought some shoes and they were too, you know, we're the audio weight and are the same size and they were too narrow. So I give some to him with other people. So everyone benefits. But now I finally have shoes that are wide enough and fit. I'm thrilled about it.
You have a whole new lease on life.
I really do. Honestly, your feet are better. My hips are better. My knees don't hurt as much because when you're wearing shoes and you're kind of, you know, it's like you're walking around on stilts. By the way, one time a guy was on stilts and I leg kicked him.
That's horrible.
I don't know what he would have listed as his gratitude that week, but.
Not that.
It wasn't this. So I wanted to tell you something here, a story that occurred this week. And I, you know, I was talking about this in a morning at pitch meeting. And I didn't really realize this was something that I could tell on air, but I think it was Tim from HR. I said, you know what? You should talk about that. So. I was at the gym this week, and there's a guy in there, a black guy, who I know, and he's not, you know, he's really black, really black, black. Yeah.
Nubian.
Yeah. Nice guy. He Christian guy. He coaches basketball for underprivileged kids at a church, and we talk all the time. I go in, we always enjoy each other's company. I was just talking with him about like jiu-jitsu. He was talking about basketball. We were kind of learning from each other, and the conversation transitioned to politics. Right at one point. And it started with me, I think we were talking about athletics and the whole kind of transgender athletics thing. And so it started with that, and I talked about, you know, transgender athletes and men winning women's wrestling meets. He goes, man, what? When is this happening? I said, where have you been? I said, where have you been? You don't know about that? Do you know about the case in Texas? It's in Texas with the father and his son. He said, what? He has to raise his boy as a girl? He was like, that's you making that up? Because I know you do your little show. And I said, no, I do my little show. And it is. That was demeaning, but I appreciate the way you framed it. But no, this is real. And he was like, man, I can't believe that. I said, yeah, you really should probably, you know, get involved with this a little bit more, you know, learn about it. And he started talking. He asked, well, what do you think about politics? We started talking about Bernie Sanders. And he said, because I know I got some friends who, like, they like Bernie Sanders, but I don't really follow that a lot. Like, what do you think? I said, well, I don't know. What do you think about a 90% income tax? He goes, what? What? And this is how he talks. He goes, what, 90%? Come on, dude. I said, no, 90%. I said, just right now, run a YouTube search. You can see Bernie Sanders saying that a 90% tax wouldn't be completely out of line. And as we're talking, he's sitting there going, like, man, that's crazy. This other guy comes up, and I know him. He's also a good guy, Christian guy, but he's a Chicago guy. Yeah, so you know what that means. He's a Chicago Union liberal. Mm. And he walks up, and he's this kind of guy who tries to bulldoze a conversation. He goes like, oh, what are you talking about, Bernie Sanders taxing 90%? And I said, yeah, you know, talking about taxing 90%. He goes, yeah, well, that's because, do you like your roads? Right away, he's going to this generic socialism argument. And the black guy's like, black guy, what I love is the black, I don't want to use their name, so I am saying black guy, so whatever, you can be offended if you want. He says, well, do you like your roads? And the black guy goes, roads.
he's like, what you talking about?
Like, I can see in his brain, he's like, that's what we call a non sequitur. But he goes, roads? And the guy goes, yeah, how do you think a government works? Roads, police department, Social Security. And I said, right, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, public schools, DMV, post office, all programs that work really well. And the black guy goes, yeah, but they don't, though. And so that set Chicago white guy off. He starts going nuts. He starts going, oh, this is Donald Trump. He goes, I don't care what you are. I'm a Christian, but Donald Trump is a horrible man because no one treats people like that. I said, well, treat people like what? He goes, oh, what? Do you watch the news? He goes, do you watch the news? And the black guy's like, he kind of does it. And I was like, stop. He goes, do you watch the news? It's terrible. I said, listen, whether he's a good guy or not, I think that we have a rip-roaring economy and we're better off. He goes, oh, a rip-roaring economy? Why do you say that? I said, well, I don't know. We have the lowest unemployment that we've had in decades. We have the highest labor force participation rate. We have a job surplus. We have $5,000 as the median household increase for middle-income families, not including the super wealthy. I think this is a pretty good thing. And I said, also, lowest black unemployment, right? And the black guy now goes like, yeah, that's true. That's true. I said, more black businesses being started than ever
before. I could relate.
He goes, that's true. I read about that. And the guy goes, yeah, well, what about the GDP? I said, well, hold on a second. I thought we want to talk about sort of these metrics that really affect everyday Americans. He goes, you know what? He starts bringing up his phone, and he brings up something about the GDP, and it wasn't really relevant, and I refuted it and pointed him to another source. And he goes, yeah, well, that's the problem. You Republicans only care about money. I said, well, you brought it up. Yes. You brought up the GDP.
Wait.
So at this point, he goes, yeah, you Republicans only care about your greed. And the black guy, he turns to me. So this guy, I will say, love the guy. He's a little fickle. Because then he turns back and he goes, yeah, but you kind of do, though. goes, right, like you Republicans, you like, yeah, like a lot of white Republicans, like y'all really care about money like a whole lot, right? And I said, well, not real. I don't think so. He goes, no. I said, no, I really don't think that's the case. He goes, what do you mean? I said, okay, right now I pay half of my income. Okay? He goes, yeah. I said, you probably pay pretty close to that. Probably not because, you know, you're in Texas, but if you were in California, you'd be paying close to half your income. I know that he's a pretty successful business person. He goes, yeah, okay. I said, so I want to know if half isn't enough, what number is enough? You tell me what number is enough. How would pay for all these programs that Mr. Chicago is proposing? And as far as greed, I would like to know, and this isn't original. This is something from Thomas Sowell, I believe, and it's been repeated. I said, what I would like to know is, why is it greedy for me to want to keep more than half, but not greedy for someone else to want to take more than half? And he said, yeah. That's food for thought. That's what he really went, that's food for thought. And he went back to the sky, food for thought. And I will say, like, listen, this is a good example of, is he black? Yes. Are there cultural differences at play here? Am I colorblind? No. It's very entertaining to white people sometimes to listen to black culture. He goes, food for thought. And then, I don't know, the Chicago guy went on the elliptical, and that was that. But the point that I'm making here is, this is a black guy who is not a Republican at all. And afterwards, by the way, he took me aside later the next day, and he said, you talk about doing some research. Like, I think Trump is like I think he's like a dick, but yeah. I agree with what you said. Like, I think it's better now than Obama. And he started talking about that. I'm going, here's the point, folks. Sometimes convincing people is not that hard. Sometimes it just takes trying. I want people to understand this. Just having those conversations in day-to-day life, I can't tell you how many times that's happened. That's before we've done this show. That's before we've had thousands of people line up to go to school shows and talk about how this program or other programs have influenced their sort of political walk. It all started with me having conversations with people. That was the basis for Change My Mind. Sometimes people go, right. Why don't you do more debates? Well, we will do more debates, and we do debates in the show, but Change My Mind is not about a debate. Change My Mind is to showcase what I just described, how you can have conversations with people in everyday life and either convince them or convince someone who's watching you talk with them. In other words, when the Chicago guy horned in, I wasn't trying to convince him, but I knew that if I spoke articulately, if I didn't get mad, if I kept my cool and I made my points and I was speaking truthfully, that the black gentleman would hear my point, and he did. Sometimes it just takes trying. And when I hear people, I've heard this a lot, some people on the right, you know, they complain about immigration, and I do obviously have a problem with illegal immigration, and as it relates to legal immigration, I do think that we should be pretty strict on who we allow in, and we should be picking the best and the brightest. I think we should have standards, so I want to be clear about that. But sometimes you have people who say, well, you know, the thing is, you just look at the demographics from people coming in from these countries, black people or brown people, they vote overwhelmingly Democrat, and you know what, the more you let come in, we're going to lose, we'll never have any more conservative principles. Hold on a second. First off, I don't agree with the premise because demographics are changing. Look at the electoral map with Donald Trump in the Midwest and Chicago, Michigan, Wisconsin, right? These states that no one thought he had a chance in winning, yours truly included. Those things change. But when you say, well, these demographics, there's no way to change it. If they come in, we're going to lose it. What does that do? It absolves you of having that conversation that I just had at the gym. Did it mean that I missed a workout? Sure. And I was grumpy that day, because if I don't get some exercise, then I'm usually kind of a prick. But the point is, when someone says, this is a demographic problem, it absolves you of any responsibility as it relates to changing somebody's mind. And this is something that we do a lot. A lot of the time, people act as though everything is out of their control. Like, well, you know, that's the way this system works. Well, you know, it could be in your job. You know what, they only promote people who are the boss's son. Could be in your marriage. Well, you know, my wife is just never gonna understand that. We do this a lot. We act as though far more is out of our control than I think we give ourselves credit for. And I want to ask, this is a challenge for this week to you. Which responsibilities do you think you've been absolving yourself of? I know I just screwed up the grammatical phrase and audio is going to kill me. Of which responsibilities have you been absolving yourself? What do you think maybe is something that you could do or you should be doing, but you've made excuses that are outside of your control, so there's no way you could do it? Like, you know what, you're never going to change. You're never going to get more than used to be 3% of the black vote. Then Donald Trump came around. I think it was 8 or 10%. That's a pretty big shift. Doesn't mean it's going to be 50%, But something changed. Thank God that Donald Trump and his team didn't say, we're going to write off the black vote. Thank God they didn't just say, we're going to write off the Midwestern vote. They could have done that. They could have absolved themselves because, you know what? There's a precedent, and no one else had done it. Just because no one else had done it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to do it and doesn't mean that you can't do it. But it's a lot easier to tell yourself, this can't be done. And I'll tell you what, if you show me what it is that you know or think you should be doing, but these responsibilities you've been abdicating, I'll show you what it is that should be at the top of your to-do list. So many people go their entire lives absolving themselves of the most important decisions they could make, of the most important actions they could take, because that's not only what affects you, your life, and your happiness, but everyone around you, and ultimately the country. I know that not all of you have a show like this. We're really blessed with this platform, but guess what? Every single one of you goes to the gym, goes to work, or goes to school, or has family gatherings where these conversations can come up. And you should be doing it every single day. You should be living it every single day, no matter how daunting it may seem. You may have a Thanksgiving table filled with nothing but the Black Panthers and Afro-lesbian PhD studies majors. And you know what? One of them could turn into Kanye West. That's what happened. His dad was a Black Panther. Do you realize that demographically, that should not exist? Thank God someone didn't pass the buck and just say, you know what, that's a lost cause. It's not. There are very, very few lost causes. If you're convincing yourself that that's the case and that's why you're not doing whatever it is that you should be doing, stop. Take inventory right now. What is it that you've been absolving for yourself that you could be doing? Every single day, you can push this ball forward. You can move the ball. You don't need me to do it, but everyone has to do it. And it starts with saying, you know what? It's probably possible. Let me give it a whirl. And then you end up with a guy saying, yeah, food for thought. Food for f***ing thought. See you next week.